Hi there. This is Conscious Living. I'm Wendy Garrett on Empower Radio, and thank you for taking time to listen today. I've got some fabulous guests lined up. Not just one, it's two. We're talking with the psychic twins, and if you have not heard of them, do a Google search. It'll come right up, about 80 billion pages there, and you'll be up to date. Hi, guys. It's finally nice to make a connection.
Hi, Wendy. So nice to be here. I know.
Hi, Wendy.
So many attempts.
Well, you have been all over the planet on pretty much every morning show that possibly exists.
Show, actually, too, now.
Yeah.
Well, we did a lot of primetime shows, yeah. Just this year, yeah, we were on Nightline and a couple other nighttime shows. It was pretty exciting.
The deal with this, what happened all of a sudden, it was absolutely media overflow of everywhere. You guys, it took off, it launched, and it was amazing. And I know that's you either have a super tremendous publicity stunt team.
No, we don't.
That's us.
We are the stunt team.
We are the stunt team. Yeah.
We don't hire anybody. And actually, I guess you would call it hitting critical mass after 25 years of doing this work. People think we're an overnight success, but we're a little older than we look, and we have been in this business for 35 years. But the psychic field for 25 years, and I think finally, we hit the tipping point, critical mass, whatever you want to call it, and we kind of went viral. And now I think people are ready to hear our message. For a while, they weren't. Now the skeptics have their panties in a bunch, because we have had a lot of accurate predictions. But I think it's exciting because now suddenly people are on board and really listening and reading about what we have to talk about.
Well, I think part of it has to do with exactly what you said, the accuracy. I mean, the 9/11 thing. When did you make that prediction?
Well, we made our 9/11 prophecy on Art Bell, Coast to Coast AM, and that's the legendary, paranormal radio show, Art Bell. And that was November 2nd, 1999, a full 2 years before 9/11 happened. It was the biggest prophecy ever recorded, Wendy. And so I think because we are proving that we can predict the future, that's what kind of gets people interested. A lot of psychics claim to be psychic, but they don't have any proof on tape, and we've predicted most of the major events of the new millennium.
Well, I was really fortunate because David Baker, who I have a whole lot of respect for, he's got a great background, just a former police officer, investigative on that end, a detective.
Yes,
who
we
also
love David
is,
Baker. He's a dear, dear person, isn't he?
Yeah, and he was just so, you've got to get these people on, okay? Here's a link, here, do this. So I set it up. That was my little tease and my little push to do some research and say, okay, well, what's he talking about? And then about that time is when you guys really, really started going gangbusters. The book came out. And how's the book now? I think that was pretty phenomenal, too.
Oh, my God, Wendy. We went to number one in the world bestseller twice this summer, both times right after we aired on The View, ABC's The View. And we shot to number one. We were outselling the Bible, and Jesus was really annoyed, actually. It's called Psychic Intelligence, by the way, for those who don't know the title. It's about how to tune in and train your psychic listening and seeing to open to the subtle messages that are all around you and to a deeper knowing that bypasses the logical mind.
Okay, now, when did you guys really become aware that this is something that you both had,
as a gift?
Mm-hmm.
Well,
yeah.
Wendy, we actually were born this way. Baby, we were born this way, we say. And we first noticed it when we were 5 years old, and we started, predicting things for people even then. And we talk about that in our first book, Separated at Earth. And all of our young experiences with being psychic. So it really was a talent that we were born with.
But we didn't know what a psychic was. We hasten to say it was pretty long ago, and it was decades before psychics really came out on the scene in television and so on. So we didn't know what a psychic was. Nobody in our town ever spoke of what a psychic was. It wasn't until our 20s that we really knew that was something that people make money at and do everywhere. But we actually, it was kind of neat that we didn't know because we were so out there, insular. Yeah, we were kind of like aboriginal in the sense that we developed and honed our abilities very much in an incubus, just kind of together in the world, kind of marching to our own drummer. And we were compulsive art machines. Even as children, we were always making art, singing, dancing, doing performance art, music, design. We were like art animals. And so,
yeah, we kind of had a sheltered childhood, actually, like very, very rural mm-hmm. community, countryside, farms. And, we really had a lot of time to be creative and to be psychic without knowing, you know, that we were. And then when we were in our 20s, we were quite ill. So we had to seek out a higher knowing in order to survive. Really, it was a survival tool for mm-hmm. us. We almost died so many times, and all these specialists told us we would be dead by 30, and we had 6 incurable diseases, including cancer. So we were really, our asses were in a sling, you know.
Well, part of that, though, that's a shamanistic approach where you really have to figure out how to heal or you're not going to get it. If you cannot
that's
heal
right.
yourself, there's no way you can heal anyone else. And so that, to me, says that, you know, you had to go through the trial by fire.
That's right. It was many, many trials by ordeal, trials by fire, Wendy. And we really did, we were like modern-day shamans. And as such, we had to, you know, become psychic with spirit teaching us. We had no teachers. We knew of no teachers that do what we do. And so we just learned, taught ourselves basically these sophisticated processes, many overlapping layers of psychic intuition. And that's what this book is about, all the layers and the multi-dimensions of the work that we do. We totally learned how to do automatic writing just through our spirit teachers, our spirit guides. And that is how we made most of our world predictions, if not all of them, I guess, our world predictions and disaster predictions over these many years through the process of automatic or channeled writing.
Well, and that's something I'm very familiar with. For me, a huge world opened up in 1997, and I still have, it's a daily thing where my nightlight is a constant presence. It blinks, it flickers. I take it with me on the road, wherever. It's just my proof of this is what we're with all the time. We have this incredible connection with energy and whatever you want to call it, higher guidance, spirit, ET, it's all something that we're still learning about. And it's really difficult when people want to say, well, that's a certain, you know, so-and-so from the 22nd century or the, you know, fifth millennium or the, it just, right now, we really don't have, I think, the knowledge base to actually pinpoint some of this stuff that we are engaged with, except to say that it certainly knows more about this than we do.
I know, right? It's like, how arrogant are skeptics to think that there's this one level and one dimension of knowing, of knowledge, you know, when we feel like it's so vast that we can't really comprehend it intellectually.
It's limitless, really. And we've spoken about that many times on TV and radio, about how our boundaries are essentially limitless. And any skeptics that try to suppress that, you know, are just not tuning in. They're so entrenched in believing no, things are impossible. Even if it's proven in laboratories, and it is being proven, and we're proving it every day with the work we do, there's this biased dismissal on the part of skeptics. And we're here to say, hey, you know, open up your sights. If you can't believe something can be done, get out of the way of the ones who are doing it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's one of those things. So I found that in terms of having to prove it to everyone else really takes away from the person who's doing it. You just keep doing it. And if they get it, fine. If they don't, fine.
Mm-hmm.
My job,
right.
Your job is to say, look, this is what I found. This is what's happening. How does it work for you? Does it work for you? Because all the people who don't get it, there are thousands more who do and are doing their own thing without making a big deal. They're just saying, wow, this is
it's,
so
you know,
incredible.
It's sort of like having a discussion about religion or politics at a party. It just doesn't work. You know, nobody's going to be right or wrong. It's like what's true for you is true, right? So we say, you know, skeptics refuse to
through
believe even when confronted with proof. And so it doesn't really work to prove it, but I think that we have the best track record of any psychic in history, and that's what David Baker has helped us so much with. He actually just made a film about us yesterday and all the predictions we made on his show, his wonderful show, Beyond the Gate, this past January 23rd, and it's up on YouTube. He made this film just about our predictions on his show, and they've all happened. 95% of them have happened.
It was one magical radio show in January 23rd of this year, 2011, and it was pretty intense. The show was lovely, and we had mostly conversation with him and his lovely wife, Sherelle. But in the last 10 or 15 minutes, I think we made about 30 predictions that have all happened.
And we're talking about the 500-year flood, the tornadoes that hit in the Midwest, the flooding, the
record-breaking things that happened up until, I think, July or August of this year.
The cyber attacks. I mean, we are talking about major global world events that affected the whole world, and they all happened, some of them within weeks of our having been on his show.
Well, and see, I think that's a thing, a crucial element too, is this the time that we're in, this particular era, all of the mm-hmm. energy, the things that are happening on our planet, in our mm-hmm. world, in our environment, are bringing these kinds of things to conscious awareness. I think there's no accident that we are being able to connect and tune in at this time. We're getting a lot of help, mm-hmm. and others mm-hmm. are here, you know, on the table. That's what I want to ask you about. With your own guides, mm-hmm. how does that work for you? Do you see, do you sense, when you're doing this kind of mm-hmm. exploring and predicting, how does mm-hmm. it come in? Is there a dream involved, or is it just all on this conscious, subconscious?
Oh, all of the above. All of it, really. Interesting. We do have dreams a lot. In fact, Linda and I have a tendency to have the same dream at the same time, which is really almost as strange as the kind of psychic work that we do. But just the other day, we woke up and we had the exact same dream. But we both dreamt tsunami. We had tsunami dreams a year before the actual tsunami in Japan hit. But mostly what we get is we get in touch with an angelic realm known as One. And so we are part of that angelic realm, and we're two of only four living members in human incarnation here on Earth that are part of One. So we work with them, and when we're channeling, that's who I think is giving us the information.
Yeah, so all our chakras are open almost all the time, which makes for a very sort of disorienting life because we are, it's hard to stay grounded because we're inundated with so much information from so many vortices, I guess you could call it. We're constantly channeling information from so many different planes of energy, and we often don't know who is speaking exactly, but we always document it. We have file cabinets full of our automatic writing and documented evidence. We're always grateful when we can get a chance to be on the radio or TV, because then we get to document more predictions. But it's always, we use all the four clairs, claircognizance, clairvoyance, clairsentience, and clairaudience, Wendy. And I feel you're strong in clairvoyance and clairaudience. Do you hear spirit?
Absolutely.
Yeah, because I feel like you're very tuned into that supernatural hearing. Many writers and musicians receive information through clairaudient inspiration. Mystics and prophets, Joan of Arc, for example, heard the voices of angels. So I really feel that's one of your stronger clairs.
Well, I appreciate that. My stuff, again, the experience that I had in 1997 shifted my world. I decided to get out of the full-time radio broadcast anchor type stuff and experience mm-hmm. more of this, so that I could, mm-hmm. when I talk to you or to others who are doing the shamanic stuff, I've done it myself. So it's not like there isn't a skeptic thing. It's just like, how can
I
better
express
this to explain it more, to bring it to people who are experiencing it. I don't care about the skeptics. That's not what I'm trying to confront. I want people who are having these. Okay, to give you an idea, people call me when they don't know what's going on. A friend called the other night, said she woke up in the middle of the night. She went out into the living room for whatever reason. Her clocks were all on a different time, went back into the bedroom. She reset the clock in the bedroom. because something had changed, but the clocks in the living room were on a different time. And she's like, what the heck? I can't figure this out. And then she goes back out 2 days or a day later. There's one clock in the living room still off, but it's a battery operated clock. It's an hour different. So for me, that's the kind of stuff that I get from people. But the thing is, I've experienced these quantum realms where you go into one reality and everything around you is different. However, you have to maintain focus. Otherwise, it would be very easy to go crazy because you have to remember this is just an experience of the moment. Focus. What's the information? What are you trying to learn or what's being given to you so that you can take it back into this same dimension that we're in and work with it? Well, part of it is for me to know that those are realities that people are experiencing, and all they have to do is remember what was going on in their life at that time. She's going through a huge shift, a huge change. Well, then all of her world shifts in that same mirror to show her, okay, what do you want to create? That's just the simplistic version, but that's the kind of stuff that because of what I've gone through, I have a very good understanding that it can rock your world, and reality is not what we think. It's more.
Oh, I know. And it's sort of like we always say that we feel like we just step through the looking glass and we're down the rabbit hole, baby. I mean, that's how it feels for us, almost like on a daily basis. We have a life that is almost unbelievable, to the point where authors are actually stealing our material because it reads like fiction. Our lives read like fiction, and they're absolutely real. Just the other day, we were cooking dinner. I did the dishes. I went to turn off the lights. I realized that Spirit had turned on the burner. Flame. If I hadn't turned the light off, I wouldn't have noticed that the flames were on the burner. And it wasn't. And I said, "Did you turn the burner on?" She said, "No." Linda said, "No," and I didn't. So it was like weird stuff like that happens to us all the time.
Yeah, there's a lot of messages that are trying to come in, and I think we need to be absolutely grounded and aware, Wendy, which is why we wrote this book. We need to be grounded. Otherwise, I think you could easily be thrown, don't you, and pulled in different directions, away from your center, away from your core.
Well, part of it
if you're not prepared.
Absolutely, absolutely. Part of it has to do with giving us a chance to conquer, I believe, fear. I think that's, for me, that's been the primary focus.
Absolutely.
Are you afraid? And I'm not afraid of this, that, and that. And then something will happen, especially when it gets into this more esoteric, like in what we would say ET, because we have no other way to quantify it or qualify it. There's the label. But this altered state of consciousness or awareness that is trying to get our attention and give us information that would be helpful. And a lot of people have gone into that realm. But when that first, when it first confronts you, it is such a foreign aspect that I was given a warning again, spirit guide saying, okay. And I said, I'm ready. I'm not afraid. It's okay. But then when that happened and there's this feeling in my space and I hear the voice that sounds like a mechanical created version of language that said my voice and it said, or my name, Wendy, couldn't say the D. The minute I heard that, I immediately went into the fight or flight. My body shut down. I'm like, crud. And they said, see, we told you need to conquer your fear. I'm like, darn it.
I have chills
but
when
that's
you said that.
Thing
I got
of,
chills.
It's innate. It's part of our... That's how we survive. But in order to get to that next level, this stuff is so far beyond our comfort zone. And I mean our DNA comfort zone, that's what right now we are, I believe, ascending and working toward empowering ourselves to be able to engage this on a conscious level, not just in the dream plane and not just in altered states, but be able to really say, amazing things are here with us and giving us opportunities every day to appreciate the wonder in the world. I love your book because I think it gives people the stepping stones of what they can, and current, you know, modern, everyday. These books have been out here for years, but everybody continues to add to the plane. And with you two going at it from two angles and supporting yourselves and saying, all right, this is what we're here to uncover, and this is what we're leaving for everybody else, little breadcrumbs, stepping stones, and
like
people
that.
Can choose.
That's nice, so, Wendy. Thank you.
Well, if you're listening now, I'm sorry, it's hard to tell with this Terry or Linda, but both of you are adding such wonderful energy to the table. The book Separated at Earth, The Story of the Psychic Twin, gives everybody a real introduction into how this works for you and how it came to be. And then the new one with psychic intelligence that people can, you know, get anywhere. And it's obviously something that people are really curious about and trying to connect the dots themselves. It's just a way of saying that we are evolving all across the board. Mm-hmm. And you guys are part of that catalyst to get people to tune into their own stuff and say, what is this that I have access to that I might have overlooked? And if I weren't afraid, I could find out more about myself and everything else here. Does that make sense?
Very, very beautifully said. I like that. It's
very
it's
well
so
said.
True. And our book does talk a lot about overcoming that fear, Wendy, which I think is really the biggest stumbling block in many cases. It's like we just don't know what this energy is at first. We get letters every single day, hundreds of letters from people who say, thank God I'm not crazy. Oh, thank God your book told me I'm not crazy. That's what I'm doing. Oh, I get it. And so these light bulbs are going off, you know, the aha moments for everyone that's reading this book, you know, that they're not crazy. Thank God.
What they're experiencing is very real and it has meaning and they can learn to hone it and develop it if they're, you know, if they're not afraid to move forward. Because I think, you know, it's a matter of just sort of being willing to sort of dive into the void, if you will, find your own magic. You know, I think if you do develop these abilities, we give specific techniques and exercises to discover your true power and how to dissolve those inner blocks and, you know, develop a clearer intention. I think that people will find that they have very powerful innate intuitive abilities, that they are more powerful than they thought, and they can create, find a new job, create a wonderful relationship, find their true purpose in life. If they were to delve in and really, you know, take off the masks and the layers that have been put on them by parents, teachers, conditioned churches over the years, all the beliefs that, because people write to us and say, oh my God, I'm so afraid. The church told me this was evil. It was the work of the devil. But I believe it because I'd have it happen every day. So that's the conflict. And we're saying, hey, it's okay. It's not the work of the devil. It's something that's very natural. And many traditions have taught mystical tradition over the years, over the centuries, over millennia. And there's nothing to be afraid of. It's actually very exciting.
Well, I think some of the stuff you do is frightening, just in terms of what was it that the FBI or somebody shut down your website?
Yeah, the government did shut down.
Yes,
they shut down our website after 9/11 happened because they shut everyone's website down that had any of our predictions on them because we got it and they missed it. And it was probably embarrassing for the government. How did the psychic twins know? And we didn't know. And again, they missed every other one that we got. We predicted the 9/11 anniversary terror plots on The View just July 8th, and that was weeks before the CIA had even a clue.
July 8th, and then CIA,
on YouTube.
The CIA came out with the information about a month later and said, guess what? There's going to be a terrorist attack plot, and we were like, you know, you're a little late to the party, buddy. but we're commonly doing this. I think we predicted about 12 or 13 terrorist attacks over the past 12, 13 years, and every one of them was missed by the CIA.
Okay, I want some more positive predictions, guys.
Okay, well, you know what? We just had a lot of breakthroughs, medical breakthroughs happen that we had predicted, breakthroughs in cancer and prevention, and that two big breakthroughs happened this week in cancer, so we predicted those. And what we're seeing for the next year are breakthroughs in heart disease. We're seeing various cancers with prevention and treatment advances, breast cancer, leukemia, blood cancer breakthroughs. We're seeing HIV and AIDS prevention and treatment coming up in the next year. You're going to read about breakthroughs in diabetes and MS, arthritis. So we're seeing a lot. We're the only psychics that really predict the big medical breakthroughs. So people try to say that we're negative or we're doom and gloom doom prophets or whatever you call it. But we never have ever predicted that the world would end. And we're the ones that say, oh, don't worry, 2012, the world is not going to end. And so we're far from the doom and gloomers.
Absolutely.
Well, and that's what we're going to take a break here in a minute or so. And what I want to get back into is, so what is coming and what is all this stuff about 2012 and how do past lives play into some of the stuff that's going on right now? So I just, you know, just all across the board, because I think when you were going back and saying, you know, people are caught up in this programming that they have already been born into, how do you get beyond that? And some of that happens because you you have this past life baggage that might be giving you a little extra on your plate that you don't even know about. And when you address that, you are so much more free to experience the reality that we are all creating and part of now without having to wonder what keeps holding you up. At least that's been my experience. I've had to deal with it myself, and I know that it was a surprise.
Grab you by surprise.
Yeah, so it was, but it was nice to say, oh, okay, that's where that came from. I don't have to worry about that one. So anyway, we're talking with the psychic twins right now, Terry and Linda Jameson, and if you haven't had a chance to listen to them and what they're about, stick around. We'll be back and have them deal a little bit more with 2012 here on Conscious Living and Power Radio.
Hey, Larry, mind if I sit down?
Nope.
This coffee tastes like coffee. So what's going on?
Not much.
What's new?
Not much.
Okay, but can you please put the newspaper down while you say not much?
What newspaper?
This newspaper. Oh, dude, what happened to your face? I see 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
Ow.
Dude, what is
Ow.
This? 11 pieces of toilet paper stuck to your face?
I'm shaving in the dark to save energy. I'm helping the environment.
Well, that's a dangerous way to help the environment.
Well, sometimes you have to sacrifice yourself for the greater good.
Dude, there's an easier and safer way to help the environment without sacrificing yourself. Go green, go public. Take public transportation. It's good for the environment, and you won't have to live behind a newspaper.
Wow.
But for now, put the newspaper back up.
A message from the public transportation systems across the country. To learn more, visit publictransportation.org.
My name is Meera Batra. I have been in this country 32 years, and this is how I live united. America has always been the land of promise, and in my community, many families have come for a better life. Coming from another culture myself, I know the desire to become part of a community, to feel at home, and to gain the tools for our children and families to succeed. So I advocate for these families with United Way. United Way empowers them to look beyond their histories and to see what opportunities are available. We help them get involved with their kids' schools, network within the community, and when we do, we unite them. We make the community stronger. What I do is something I wish someone had done for me, and I am so grateful I am able to. My name is Meera Batra. I help families see opportunities and succeed. I don't just wear the shirt. I live it.
Give. Advocate. Volunteer. Live United. Go to liveunited.org. Brought to you by United Way
Hi,
and the Ad Council.
Hey, sweetheart. Where's the little guy? In school?
Yep, just dropped him off. Is your hair getting whiter, or is that paint?
Actually, I'm painting your old room.
Did you take down my David Cassidy posters?
Nah, I painted over them.
Dad!
Just kidding.
Why were you painting my old room?
You had a purple room.
Moby Grape.
Well, your mom and I are upsizing. We're hosting a foreign exchange student from Cairo.
What about me and your grandson?
Come on, it'll be a great experience for everybody.
We'll never see you. You'll be taking her to the museum and the zoo and...
Sweetheart, you know how great it'll be for my grandson to experience another culture. He could learn another language, new customs.
I never thought of that. Got an extra paintbrush?
The time is now. Open up your life. Find out how to have a foreign exchange student live with you. Every family has something special to share. Go to hoststudents.org. That's hoststudents.org.
Amen.
Hey there, it's Wendy, and this is Conscious Living on Empower Radio. Thanks for tuning in. Again, we're talking with the psychic twins. And I don't know how they decided who would go first. Maybe I should ask that, because, you know, it's that thing of LT. It's like Terry and Linda. Was there a fight over that at all?
about who would go first when.
On your booking, since it's always Terry and Linda on the book, or do you switch off? I'm sorry.
Oh, you know, that's funny. I think I trumped Linda because, A, I'm 30 minutes older and, well, 28 minutes older, but Linda tells people we were switched at birth, and she tries to, like, grab that from me. But I also, I use the computer more, and I'm a better typist, so I get to put my name first.
Oh, yes. He who makes history writes history, or he who writes history makes depending on which way you're looking
yes,
at it.
Exactly. You better be a good typist to write history.
Hey, I typed a lot of that book, too.
Well, the thing about 2012 right now is it seems to be like the, you know, the old Y2K. Oh, something big is going to happen, and we have all this indigenous heritage culture saying something big is going to happen. But there really isn't a unified agreement on exactly what the big is. And I think there's a reason for
Armageddon. Armageddon prophecy and doomsday prophecy is really having a renaissance now because of all the books everybody's trying to sell. Oh, the bigger the disaster and the hype, the more books I'll sell. And that's exactly what's going on here. I think it was 2.5 years ago on Tyra Banks' show, we did a little video about 2012 just backstage real quick with a handheld camera. And that's kind of gone viral on YouTube. People can see it, Psychic Twins Predict 2012. But many believe it's the end of the world, apocalyptic disasters. It's crazy hype. That's just wrong. I mean, we have been seeing apocalyptic disasters for the past 8 or 10 years, first of all. So there's nothing new. It's going to continue in the levels of, you know, extreme weather and, you know, governments falling, collapsing, social unrest, political unrest. We're going to continue to see that, yes. It's not on the cataclysmic scale people want to you to believe. What we're seeing is an increase in positive implications like renewal and balance and awakening to a new consciousness. You know, I feel like the Mayans really believed that we lost touch with a sacred, intuitive essence of life. And we think this is going to be a time of spiritual transformation and more working in partnership and holding a new consciousness, living from more of an expanded perspective.
Well, and how do you see that in your own lives? Do you see that really mirroring what you're talking about?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God. Our life, like I say, we feel like we're down the rabbit hole now.
Our life has become like The Matrix, the movie. No lie. Mm-hmm. It's like mm-hmm. The Matrix. It is so multi-layered and ridiculous every day. We just sort of hold on for dear life like, you know, on a roller coaster, you hold on to the bar in front of you because you're so terrified. That's what our life has taken on, this kind of unreal, surreal loops and valleys and hills and it's absolutely fascinating to us. Most people would have gone into the loony bin years ago. But this is really, for us, it's exciting. We're Capricorns. We like challenge. And we believe that 2012, is really an exciting time, a time of global awakening and transformation. And our lives have been that, too, transformation, transmutation, discovering new aspects of ourselves. Every challenge brings something good. We believe that we're given challenges and adversities to promote ourselves and bring out our true potential. And every time we think, okay, we can rest a little bit now, we get handed something else amazing and intense. So we have to kind of up the ante, bring it on a different level and go deeper. And that's what we encourage people, you know, to read our books so they can learn how to navigate the rapids the way we have in our own lives.
Well, yeah, that's part of it, too, because your life doesn't stop just because you're experiencing all of these phenomenal, wacky things. It continues, and at some point, you have to show up for work, you have to go to bed, you have to eat, you have to remember, okay, I need to take care of myself, because this can become extremely, it's almost seductive. You're wanting to get more and more in it, and you can develop an obsession with it, especially the challenge.
Yeah,
well put. And we're very obsessive. Anyway, I think we're kind of OCD. We come from a family of OCD artists and collectors. And
very
so it helps us in the sense that we can keep track and file system of all of our prophecies. And in that sense, it's helped us, but we have to be careful about being too OCD about everything else.
Yeah, we have to really make time to kind of get back in nature and nurture ourselves and take time to meditate and breathe. Otherwise, we'd just go nuts.
But yeah, it's really about self-discovery every day. You know, it's a new discovery on some level about who we are and what this universe is forcing us to do. We're being forced to expand and grow in new ways that don't fit the old identity that we had. And I know you understand this, Wendy. In 1997, when you had that experience, you were forced, we call that a shamanistic death or a shamanic death, death to the illusion of who you thought you were, what your old identity and ego was rooted in, just went kerflooey, right? It was exploded, that idea of who you thought you were.
I had that experience when I was about 27, 28. I was getting divorced. My marriage was ending. And I went through this real shamanistic death where it was a real eye-opener, and I realized, oh, there is a God, or there are spirit guides, and there are other dimensions of reality. Psychics yes. exist. And so it was like this huge
revelation.
Awakening right around my Saturn return. Did you ever do astrology, Wendy?
My grandmother did, and I was exposed to that from an early age. She always did charts for us.
Wow, that must have been neat. Wow.
So I'd always had that in Fate magazines, so where I was exposed to all sorts of the good ghost stuff. I had my own to try and figure out, but it was this world I knew existed, no matter what anybody else said. I had to figure out how to integrate it, how to make it work in my life. And it's interesting that age you're talking about 28. That was when I had a really full blown out of body where I was meditating and then realized that I was looking at my body from above the bed. I was seeing myself seeing myself as a ball, a golden ball of light floating above. And when I woke up, or when I came out of that state, I realized I had three perspectives: the one that was on the bed, the one that was hovering in the golden ball of light, and the one that was able to observe both of those and still have conscious awareness. So that was 28 or 29. I put it off until for another 10 years, 11 years of what the heck do I do with all of this stuff that's going on? I have to make a living and have a job. So I took away, you know, it took 10 years of saying no, and then finally said, okay, fine. This is just that other experience made me decide to go ahead and say, I have to do what I'm doing.
I can't ignore it. Yeah.
And that brings me to
being able. What do you call that? Did you call that the watcher? When you said there's this third entity that's watching me, what did you call that? Like your soul or your spirit or your watcher?
I believe that would be the oversoul, the one who's here kind of keeping an eye on things and letting me experience that duality, the sense of I am a body and I am light. And the oversoul there is kind of connecting the dots and making sure that I didn't wander off into Tibet or something.
And you may have wandered off to Tibet. You know, we all exist on so many multiple realities and parallel realities, I think. There's this split molecular personality that I think we live on so many dimensions, and in our sleep state certainly all do astral travel. People don't realize this, but, you know, there's so much potential. Our souls are so powerful, and I think it's a shame to put limits on it, really. It's exciting. This is exciting, this kind of exploration, don't you think, into the world of psychic intelligence? Because I think psychic is the new smart, you know? The age of purely rational intelligence and logical intelligence is over. This is the next wave. This is the next frontier.
Well, I think it's a marriage of the two, and figuring out that they both support each other. It isn't neither nor. It's allowing it to be a more complex reality and a more complex package than we have admitted to. Because before, you know, the stuff that you guys are talking about, there were mental asylums. There were places that people were sent, and there were shock treatments that were then made. You know,
Because
it's like, no, you can't have this. And they then put anybody who differed into the numb zone, or they just, burned them at the stake. You know, those kinds of things are fortunately in our past history, but there might have been a few of us who have a past life memory of that as part of our training and growth. So I think you guys have probably been there.
No doubt. We came in with a very poisoned lineage, and I think there was a lot of mind control in past lives. There was a lot of emotional mind-numbing, we call it emotional Botoxing. I think that's just the history many of us inherited. We inherited that tendency towards people suppressing more than encouraging our true essence to come forward. And but eventually, you know, like Columbus proved the world wasn't flat, people had to sort of let go of their old long-held beliefs about what was possible. And in the same manner, we're challenging those established, entrenched paradigms and beliefs about what is possible. And we're saying, no, you know, what seems like you're losing your mind or a fractured reality actually is an opportunity for you. It's an opening to a new way of being in the world. And so embrace it. You know, it's scary at first, but then it kind of becomes fun. And the pursuit of what really is this about becomes an exciting adventure.
Now, the benefit you guys have is that you have somebody else there validating your reality, and in many cases experiencing a dual reality. That is absolutely huge, and I think that's what's taking you to the next level, because you have somebody else there going, I see, I understand, I am here with you. And that,
I'm feeling
I tell
too,
you, is
exactly.
crucial.
It's huge. I mean, we would absolutely have kicked the bucket, you know, decades ago had we not had each other. Sure. And it wasn't always easy. Sometimes we're like a bad marriage, you know, the two of us. But, you know, because we've been joined at the hip for decades. But, you know, we really do know what that's like. It's people envy the fact that we have this symbiotic, close connection and close relationship with one another that everybody wants. You know, everybody's looking for that soulmate, you complete me kind of a thing. We were born with that. And so, but that's because our mission was so difficult that we could have died, you know, literally thousands of times if we didn't have each other. So we kept each other alive, really. We helped each other survive and continue to.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, so you've got the book out right now, the number one bestseller, the Psychic Twins Intelligence book, which people
called Psychic Intelligence, Wendy.
Okay, well, yeah, I'm sorry, I've got it in my
I know on your website it says Psychic Twins Intelligence, but it's actually Psychic Intelligence. That's okay.
Sorry, yeah. Well, fortunately, right beside it, so you can go over and go, oh, look, they added that.
Yeah, click on the image. There you go.
But the other thing,
I mean, it is Psychic Twins Intelligence, but that's too wordy.
Yeah.
Not catchy enough.
with what you're doing, what do your guides tell you is next?
Okay. Well, next we have stuff we can't talk about because it's a lot of legal wrangling that we're going through right now. Unfortunately, that's part and parcel of what we're involved with is the legal aspect. We're running into some
a major quagmire, shall we call it?
But that's taking a lot of time away from other things that we're doing. But we also have a TV show in development. We have a lot of appearances coming up. We have a new book series that you may be reading about soon. And so we are writing. We're doing an awful lot of writing. We have a new newsletter that's coming out this week about our appearance on The View. And so that's exciting, too. We have a lot of good stuff coming up.
Yeah, actually, we are going... Oh, I just lost my train of thought. We have a new website, is what I was going to say, in development. And it's not totally polished yet, so people who are going on a website may get a Safari can access this server thing. So just be patient. Later in the week or early next week, it should be up and running in its fullness and glory.
Yeah, that's psychictwins.com. And again, it's down because we're in the middle of a huge redesign.
Oh, great. I was going, I'm like, why can't I access this site? So I thought,
that's
well, I just want anything. It's probably an overload server, you know, blah, blah, blah. Oh, good. Okay.
In a week, maybe it'll be up and fully running. So thanks for your patience, everybody.
Yeah. Well, and you're fine on Facebook, okay? So if
you're
trying to connect with them.
We're all over Facebook, yep. Yeah, join our fan page.
Our fan page. We have two fan pages. One is run by Debbie Star Jackson in Alaska. She's wonderful. That's Terry and Linda, the Psychic Twins.
And the one that we run is our public page. It's called The Psychic Twins. So please join.
Okay, and then I just thought maybe they needed one for you, you know, one for Carrie and one for Linda.
You know what? I have my own page, but we never did a specific page for Linda, and now we've reached our limit on my page. So we're really just using our two fan pages right now. Yeah, Carrie's page.
A little bit confusing for people when they're trying to get into a relationship, because you can always, you know, duck the other one. And, I think Linda must have said that. It wasn't me. It was Linda. She said that. She said all of that.
I know. We used to date identical twin magicians. You think that it's confusing enough being psychic twins, right? Well, we talked about that on The View, and that was one of the things they edited out because it was funny, I guess. But it's on YouTube.
Well,
that's
not fun. That's no fair. Okay, of all of this, the stuff that you really, really cherish about your life and what you are able to do, for one thing, because of the tremendous awareness and a boost to validate what you guys are going through, what is your favorite part of being who you are?
Oh, wow, a great question that we never got before.
Wow, that's a great question. We're just like two wings of a bird, Wendy, the two of us, working and living together for so many years, being artists together. A lot of people don't realize we're fine artists as well, and we do all of the art on our website, and we have an angelic art series. We really love the special communication that we have, and it's just like a constant communion, telepathic and otherwise. We're always making each other laugh. We just totally get each other. That goes without saying with a lot of twins, but not all twins can say that. We have this amazing communication that transcends an ordinary relationship. And that's what I would say. We're very blessed. We laugh all day long. If we're not crying, we're laughing.
I really appreciate that and value that all of our talents, because we were, you know, professional comics. We were on Saturday Night Live. We were the two-headed housewife on Saturday Night Live years ago. And we've been able to write books together. And over the years, we've developed this amazing artistic, it's like this synchronous gift that we have, where she'll write a sentence and I'll write a sentence and she'll write a sentence and I'll write a sentence. Mm-hmm. We do the same with our painting. And we're the only twins that we know in the world that make art together.
Yeah, our styles are very different separately, but we kind of bring them together in our work, our writing and our painting and our cartoons and so on. We believe that we came in as two for a reason, two but not two. It's a Buddhist expression. We're practicing Buddhist for almost 30 years now. And there's that duality theme that you brought up earlier. We're two but not two. We're as one. And we believe that that's what 2012 is about, that sort of resolving, going into that duality and that question of separateness and what really is that about. And we represent that. We feel like we embody that and represent that for the world.
Okay, now my question is, will they take it to the next level? Is there an oversoul here who says, all right, it's now time to show just how connected you are, however one is, you don't have to be physical to prove that. Do you see that at all?
I'm not sure if I understand the question, Wendy.
If one of you is no longer here, you think you'll still have that connection?
Oh, I got you.
That one will still be here non-physically?
Well, that, you know, I have to tell you, I do have a fear of that. Even though we're mediums and we believe in life after death for sure, and we're Buddhists, so we certainly believe in reincarnation, I really don't. I have a fear of losing Linda, and I'm sure she feels the same way.
Yeah, I mean, we've even had, you know, nightmares about that separation, but since it's inevitable, ain't nobody getting off this planet alive. I think that we will always have that cord of connection, and we tell this to twinless twins, twins who've lost their twins tragically in some way, or just by natural death. We say, look, that cord still exists. It's never going away. You have that etheric connection always. And I think we'll always be telepathic, whether one is here or one isn't, whether we're always here or not. I feel that we have been twins and together in many, many past lives, and we'll probably go forward always connected.
Well, that's, you know, that's a very, and I'm sorry to, you know, put that out there, but it's just that, that conscious connection and the unconscious connection, the spirituality of the two of you that really comes to the center, comes to the fore. People can see this. It isn't just somebody who's, who is a good pal. You guys have this soul connection that I think.
Yes.
When, you know, you're talking about, well, the inevitable that we all cross over, pass on, how does that come into play? And I do believe that that will be part of all of us, our learning through you guys.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
That's and we feel that is one of the main points of psychic intelligence that we talk about, that we're a bifurcated soul. We're one soul with two bodies. It's very rare for twins to be a bifurcated soul. Occasionally we'll see, there were some twin dancers we saw on YouTube in France, and they
brilliant.
You should see them dance together. I don't even know their names, but they're the most amazing dance team together I've ever seen. And they're identical twins, clearly joined at the soul.
They're like very skinny, tall, young. They look like they're about 20, black twins with little afros. And they're absolutely amazing. I think it's on our, is it on our fan page? I think you see the video there. But that's an example of another set of bifurcated soul twins. We do believe it's very rare. They definitely came in to do this dance together. And there's a reason, because spiritually it draws attention to the message that we're bringing to the plane, the earth plane.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. It's an underscoring by having two
absolutely.
Of you.
Absolutely.
The thing that you're doing right now, though, is you're giving people a real good, solid framework to be able to delve into their own issues, their own awareness, their own psychic abilities. And
if they want,
I think
it takes courage, but you know, it's really a fun process, and we try to make it fun. We use our humor so that it's accessible to people.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be all woo-woo, scary, heavy. You know, we don't take ourselves seriously, which I think it puts people off, you know, when psychics are too heavy and serious.
Clear them out.
You know, we try to use our humor and comedy as a bridge of understanding so that people can really access and use humor to access their own psychic abilities.
And do you have a role model? Is there somebody right now you could point to that said, in terms of spiritual or psychic kind of...
You know, I guess maybe not living.
Brian Myers,
Nostradamus. Nostradamus was very in tune to some huge, huge spirit.
Absolutely. And I would have to say Gandhi. You know, these are sort of like, we feel they're muses for us. People that stood for something.
John Lennon.
Very, very great.
John Lennon is one of our spirit guides and muses. He comes in frequently. We talk about that in our book. I think they're all dead guys.
You know, I would. I agree. As you're talking about this, I'm thinking, you know, I get John Denver. And it's so much.
Really?
Oh, it was so fun because when he died, and I knew as a kid, I thought, I want to interview him. And then it happened.
Wow.
And that time he had... I guess he'd been tagged for another DUI, and he was prepared. He had steeled himself, like, okay, I'll go through this interview. I've got to do the PR. And I asked him a question about a song that was it was not the beaten, not everybody knew about it, Grandma's Featherbed. He melted, invited me to his concert. A year later, he was gone. I was so glad my name had worked, that I was able to connect. And then a year later, I had this information. He said, I always loved the Perseids, the meteor showers. He said, go outside and watch. And I realized at that point, I didn't know that about him. And then I went ahead and connected. That's when I knew, okay, we go on. We go on in our own special way, and we connect with people maybe on a similar plane. But his stuff for me reminds us how important all of the environment and the world is, just enjoying the beauty and celebrating and trying to leave something behind that's bigger than what we started with. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. As Buddhists, we were always taught, you know, it isn't how cute you are, or, you know, how smart you are, or your accomplishments. It's how much have you helped people? How much have you given to others? And so we've dedicated the last, you know, 35 years of our lives to, you know, being Buddhist leaders and teachers and psychic teachers.
And giving back.
And I think John Denver is a muse for you. I really do. In fact, by the way, Wendy, real quick, you were a druid in Scotland in around the 3rd or 4th century. And I don't know if you knew, you worked with magic and ritual, and you were a male druid, and that's you know, kind of flowing into the river of your karma as an intuitive.
And you did astrology, and that's why I brought up the astrology thing.
Yeah, ritual.
Oh. I like the male factor because occasionally I need to kick butt and don't. So, you know, it's nice to know that I have that on my side.
I bet you can too, girl.
Well, I've learned the power of patience, letting things be what they need to be until it's time, you know.
I love it. That's hard. The patience thing is really hard for us,
too.
Oh,
my goodness. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Tell me about it.
Oh, boy. That is like the hardest lesson for us. We are so impatient. We're just like, you know, also full of energy.
Well, you can see the outcome. You can see the beauty. You can see the benefit. You can see how it all works together. And you've already got this, you know, everything all worked out and perfect in this end result. And everybody else is just beginning to see the first page. It's like, oh,
shoot. Exactly.
Yeah.
It's like you're a step ahead all the time. And it's a little hard to be out there, you know, in the future ahead of and people are always trying to shoot us down for that. But, you know, hey, it's what we do. We can't help it.
I can tell you right now, you're far beyond their aim, so good luck. You know, it's not...
Thank you, Wendy.
Oh, thank you. Bless your heart.
Thank you.
So, and I really appreciate... We're going to have to wrap. I really appreciate everything that you guys are doing. Thank you for
bless
making
your
this
heart.
Connection. And just
thank
keep
you.
that positive, what you're doing, that positive energy going, because that's
thank
what
you.
I think lifts everybody else in what you're doing, too.
Thank you so much.
You,
and
Wendy,
you too, Wendy.
It's been a joy talking to you today.
Sure. And go ahead. And is there anything else you want to promote? We're wrapping up here the last minute.
Okay. Just you can get Psychic Intelligence in any bookstore. It's
Kindle.
On Amazon. It's on Kindle, iTunes, you name it. And visit our website once it's up, the new design, psychictwins.com. Sign up for our free newsletter, which we've been writing for 5 years. Every month it comes out, and we write it ourselves.
And we hope to see you
in the future.
Yay!
Yay!
Thanks for listening. This is Wendy Garrett, Conscious Living on Empower Radio. Have a wonderful day. Remember, think the best thoughts. That's what comes back to you. See ya.